Saraya and I had been married for 15 years when the call came from Pakistan. Rahim Khan was ill. He wanted me to go and see him. I drove to Golden Gate Park where dozens of miniature boats sailed. I glanced up and saw a pair of kites floating high above the trees. I thought about the comment Rahim Khan had made before hanging up. Come, there is a way to be good again. My suspicions had been right all those years. He knew about Asif, the kite, the wristwatch. He'd always known. As the taxi passed Peshawar University, we entered an area the driver referred to as Afghan Town. I saw sweet shops, carpet sellers, and tiny restaurants with maps of Afghanistan painted on their windows, interlaced with backstreet aid agencies. I thought about the last time I saw Rahim Khan. He'd come to say goodbye the night Baba and I fled from Kabul. I remember them embracing, crying softly. When we arrived in America, they kept in touch by phone. The last time I'd spoken to Rahim Khan was shortly after Baba's death. The driver pulled up by a narrow building. I walked up to the second floor and down a dim hallway. A thing made of skin and bones pretending to be Rahim Khan opened the apartment door. We sat on a wispy mattress and I poured tea from a small copper samovar. The conversation inevitably turned to the Taliban. Is it as bad as I hear?
Worse.
They don't let you be human. Rahim Khan had moved into Baba's house when we left. Later, when the Northern Alliance took over, different factions claimed different parts of Kabul. You practically needed a visa to go from one neighborhood to the other, so we just stayed put. People prayed the next rocket wouldn't hit their house. When the Taliban rolled in and kicked the alliance out, I actually danced on the street.
Hope's a strange thing.
A violent coughing fit gripped Rahim Khan and rocked his gaunt body. How are you? I asked.
Dying, actually.
He blotted his brow from one wasted temple to the other. I knew he read the next question on my face.
Not long.
Let me take you home with me. I can find a good doctor. They're coming up with new treatments all the time.
I was rambling and I knew it.
But it was better than crying. Rahim Khan chuckled.
I see America has infused you with the optimism that made her so great. Look, I'm being pragmatic. I've seen several good doctors and they're all given the same answer. There is such a thing as God's will. There was another reason I asked you to come. You know, all those years I lived in your father's house, I wasn't alone. Hassan lived there with me.
Hassan, the thorny old barbs of guilt bore into me.
I thought of writing and telling you, but I wasn't sure you wanted to know. Was I wrong?
I don't know.
I'm going to ask something of you. But before I do, I want to tell you about Hassan. I didn't want to let your father's house go to rot, Amir Jan. It had meant so much to him. So one day, I drove to the village where Ali and Hassan moved, after Ali dismissed himself from the house. I found Hassan living in the only house in the village that had a walled garden. I had to make him stop kissing my hands when he saw me. He had grown so tall. But other than that, he had those same green eyes, that scar on his lip, that smile. You would have recognized him, Amir. I'm sure of it. We went inside and met his wife, Farzana. Hassan told me that Ali and his cousin had been killed by a landmine 2 years before. A landmine. Is there a more Afghan way of dying? Farzana made us a meal, and I told Hassan about the house and how I couldn't care for it by myself anymore. I asked him to move to Kabul with me. At first, he wanted to stay. He and Farzana had made a life for themselves in the village. He asked about you, and I told him you were in America. He wanted to know, had you married? Did you have children? Did you still fly kites? Were you happy? He learned to write, and he asked if he wrote you a letter, would I pass it on to you? He wept like a child when he heard about your father. He and Farzana insisted that I spend the night there. All night I could hear them whispering and Hassan sobbing. And in the morning he told me that he's decided to move to Kabul with me. When I asked if he was sure, he said, Ohosa was like my second father. When we got back to Kabul, Hassan refused to move into the house. He said it was a matter of respect. He and Farzana moved into the hut in the backyard. I pleaded with them to use the guest bedroom, but he wouldn't. They did all the cooking, all the cleaning. Hassan tended the flowers in the garden, painted the walls. It was as if he was preparing the house for someone's return. In the winter of 1990, they had a son, and they called him Sohrab, after Hassan's favorite hero from the Shahnama. Do you remember you used to read it to him? He was a beautiful little boy, with the same sweet temperament as his father. Hassan taught Sohrab how to shoot the slingshot, and by the time he was 8, he was deadly with the thing. He also taught him to read and write. His son wasn't going to grow up illiterate like he had. I grew very attached to that little boy. He reminded me of you. You remember I told you how we all celebrated when the Taliban rolled in? Well, that night when I got home, I found Hassan in the kitchen listening to the radio. God help the Hazaras now, Rahim Khan, he said. But the war is over, I said. There's going to be peace. A few weeks later, the Taliban banned kite fighting. 2 years later, they massacred the Hazaras in Mazar-e Sharif. Rahim Khan fished an envelope from his jacket and handed it to me. Inside was a photograph and a folded letter. A tall man wearing a white turban stood with a little boy in front of a set of wrought iron gates. He exuded a sense of self-assuredness. His arms comfortably crossed on his chest, his smiling face tilted towards the sun. Rahim Khan was right. I'd have known him anywhere. The little boy stood barefoot, his head resting against his father's hip. He too was grinning. I unfolded the letter. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, Amir Aha, with my deepest respects, Farzana Jan, Sohrab, and I pray that this letter finds you in good health. I have told much about you to Farzana and Sohrab, about us growing up together. They laugh at the stories of the mischief we used to cause. Alas, the Afghanistan of our youth is long dead. In Kabul, fear is everywhere, and you cannot escape the killing. I wish you could see Sohrab. He's a good boy. The two of us often walk up to the cemetery on the hill. We sit under the shade of our pomegranate tree and I read him the Shahnama. I have been dreaming a lot lately, Amir. I dream that my son will grow up to be a free person and that flowers will bloom in the streets of Kabul again and kites will fly in the sky. And I dream that someday you will return to the land of our childhood. If you do, you'll find a faithful friend waiting for you. May Allah be with you always. Hassan. Rahim Khan said, that letter was written 6 months ago, before I came to Peshawar. A month after I arrived, I got a call. Soon after I'd left Kabul, a rumor spread that a Hazara family was living alone in the big house. A pair of Taliban officials came to investigate and interrogate Hassan. When he explained he was looking after the house for me, they accused him of lying and ordered him out. Hassan protested. So they took him out on the street. They made him kneel. They shot him in the back of the head. When Farzana screamed,
they shot her too.
What did they do with Sohrab? I asked. I heard he's in an orphanage. Rahim Khan paused. I already knew what he was going to say. I want you to bring Sohrab here. I know an American couple, Thomas and Betty Codwell. They run a small charity to help house and feed Afghan children who'd lost their parents. They're good people. They've already told me Sohrab would be welcome. Rahim Khan, I can't go to Kabul. It's too dangerous. I have a wife in America. A home. Sohrab is a gifted little boy. We can give him a new life here, new hope. Why me? I think we both know why it has to be you, don't we? I dropped my eyes. Rahim Khan leant back against the wall. There is something else you should know. Before Ali married Hassan's mother, he was married to a Hazara woman who left him childless after 3 years. Ali was sterile. He had Hassan. No, he didn't. Then who? I think you know who. I felt like a man sliding down a steep cliff. Did Hassan know? Rahim Khan shook his head. You bastards! How could you hide this from me? Suddenly it all made sense. The signs had been there all along. Baba hiring Dr. Kumar to fix Hassan's hair lip. Never missing Hassan's birthday. And the day I'd asked if he'd consider getting new servants. Hassan stays right here with us, he'd said. This is his home and we're his family. Then I saw Baba on the day of my graduation. I wish Hassan had been with us today. How could he have lied to me all those years? To Hassan? When I was little, hadn't he sat me on his lap and said, there is only one sin, and that's theft. When you tell a lie, you steal someone's right to the truth. And now, 15 years after I'd buried him, I was learning that Baba had been a thief of the worst kind, because the things he'd stolen had been sacred. From me, the right to know I had a brother. From Hassan, his identity. And from Ali, his honor. Then it occurred to me that Baba and I were more alike than I'd realized. We'd both betrayed the people who would have given their lives for us. And with that came the realization that Rahim Khan had summoned me here to atone not just for my sins, but for Baba's too. There is a way to be good again, he said. A way to end the cycle. With a little boy. An orphan. Hassan's son. Somewhere in Kabul.